Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Eye on the Illini, the podcast series brought to you by IlliniGuys.com. And we have a very special guest on with us today. He joined us on a podcast, an Eye on the Illini podcast, back in early February, and was one of the first national people to talk about Illinois as a possible one seed and national title contender. Veteran writer from the Sporting News. He's one of the preeminent writers of our generation when it comes to college basketball. Great writer and analyst on the Sporting News. You can also see him on Big Ten Network and Fox Sports. Our friend Mike DeCourcy is joining us once again. Mike, thanks again for your time. Great to see you.
Oh, great to see you too, Larry. Absolutely. And good luck. I mean, congratulations on the, I said good luck last time. Congratulations on the growth of the Illini guys. It's really fun to see. It's, you know how much respect I have for you. So to have your voice amplified in the college sports space is tremendous.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that respect is reciprocated. You and I go back more years than what we probably would have been. But I, as you know, I've been a huge fan of yours for a long time. And it's great to be a colleague of yours for so long as well. I want to talk very quickly with some of the things I want to get to in this space. But let's start with this summer. You know as much about college basketball as anybody. Can you ever recall a summer like this with the transfer portal and NIL? The word unprecedented, I can't think of any other word to describe what we just went through.
Well, it's exactly right. That's the exact word. We haven't had anything like this in college sports, and I've been covering it since 1984 full time. So I know the space. I believe it was 84, right around there, 84, 85. I can't remember the exact year that we had the Supreme Court decision on the Oklahoma-Georgia case relative to college football television. And that's probably the only inflection point that's similar to this. It really ultimately changed everything because the constraint on televising college sports went away and was opened up to everyone. And so that really changed everything in terms of how we as consumers would be presented college sports, college basketball, the everything that I do, really, Fox Sports, Big Ten Network, the various ESPN platforms, all of that grew from that Supreme Court decision. And so that's the last time we had something similar to this. Now you're talking about with name, image, and likeness, players being able to make money while they're in school, to endorse a product, to create a business on YouTube or Instagram, whatever it might be, all these different things that they can do now, autograph signings. And at the same time, you have the immediate transfer. The transfer portal gets a lot of heat that it doesn't deserve, because what the transfer portal did, and it was introduced 3-4 years ago, was take away that awkwardness of, no, you can't go there. Yeah, you go ahead and leave, but you can't go there. Or, you know, I'm not even going to release you to anywhere. I mean, that was all, you know, for the longest time, a coach's prerogative. And it was always awful. It had no business in college sports. So the transfer portal eliminates that. But the difference is now you go into that portal and you can come out the other side and be able to play right away. Immediate eligibility is the difference. That's new, and that changes a lot. And I'm not sure that I believe I'll ever be convinced that it's changed for the better. I know there are a lot of athlete advocates who believe that athletes were getting a raw deal by not being able to compete immediately. I don't believe that. I think that more athletes will be used in this current circumstance. I've always just used it as, it's since it's my sport, basketball. I'm a coach and I need 12 minutes a game from a power forward. That's all I need. If I've got that, I can win this thing. I can win my league. I can make the Final Four, whatever the goal is, if I can get that 12 minutes. And so then I take a player in and he thinks he's going to come in and start, or she thinks that she's going to come in and start. And instead they play that 12 minutes and then maybe my team does what I want, but the kid, the athlete, doesn't get the experience that he or she thought was coming, and also loses, maybe a lot of credits academically and falls behind and maybe doesn't graduate and all those kinds of things. So I'm never going to be a super big fan of the immediate eligibility for anything other than graduate transfers, but it's all impacted the entire game. And of course you'll see that all across college basketball this winter with players who will compete immediately. And look, I'm not going to take that out on the players or the teams that have them, but because that's the rule now and they are following the rule.
Yeah. Here's my concern. And I completely agree with that. My concern is, and I'm going to use a player you've heard of from about 20 years ago, who now is rising in the coaching ranks. He's in the Bulls organization, named Henry Domerkant. Henry Domerkant was an outstanding 4-year player for Eastern Illinois, my alma mater. If a player like Henry Domerkant existed today and he had two outstanding years for a program the size and the level of EIU, what's to say he doesn't jump to an Illinois or a Big Ten school with no issues? And he could go play right away. And so in essence, the EIU, if you get a Henry Domerkant, if you develop a Kevin Duckworth, you just become a feeder school to those bigger programs. At the same time, if you're a kid who goes to a larger school, you can then transfer down and go right away, kind of like you can in football if you go down to 1AA. That's my concern, is that I worry about that part of the game where you're not going to have the Steph Currys at a Davidson and having that kind of storyline, the David versus Goliath NCAA tournament, because in today's play, a Steph Curry would transfer to Duke or would transfer to North Carolina.
Good possibility I will say that I know this relationship between Steph and Bob McKillop well, and it was pretty firm. So I think that in that sense, it is incumbent upon the coach to have that relationship with their athletes. The difference with Henry, and Henry's an interesting case because Eastern Illinois never got good as a result of having Henry on their team. They were never able to fill out a roster around him that threatened really to make the NCAA tournament. And so I think that's a difference. That athlete is really, you're going to have a really hard time hanging on to him or her because, they're playing great and they're playing a lot and scoring a lot of points or whatever, but they're not having the team success. So, they get to the senior year maybe and they think, well, I've put in 3 years and this isn't happening. You're not getting players around me who can get this done. And I can go and I can walk right into the starting lineup at Kentucky or Duke or Carolina or wherever, Illinois. And they have got a spot for me and I can get in and I can get into the NCAA tournament because we're going to be good. And so I understand that desire and I was really fully in favor of it when it was exclusive to graduate students. I was really fully in favor of that. And I understand the athlete wanting that now in that circumstance because he or she has put in that, that time. The ones that are a little bit bothersome are the ones who, go to a low major, mid major school, have a great freshman year, and then all of a sudden decide they're too big for the place they're at. That's not always going to work out. It's not always going to lead to superstardom at the next, at the higher level of Division I. All in all, I still think that year in residence has great value. And here's another part of it. I talked about that using the athlete to get the 12 minutes or whatever. Under the old rule, for a coach to take a transfer was a massive investment because you're taking a spot on your roster, obviously the expense of having that player around, and that player could not do anything for you for 12 months from a competitive advantage standpoint. You couldn't score any points, couldn't rush for any yards in football, couldn't hit any home runs in baseball, whatever it might be. They couldn't do that. But you had to say, I'm in anyway, because I think this player is going to be good for my program and we're going to be good for him or her. So I don't agree with that part of it, but again, I'm accepting of it because it's the rule. It's what they decided on. There will be athletes who benefit from it. And I hope that, you know, I hope it's universal. I don't expect that it will be, but I hope it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk with Mike DeCourcy here, the Sporting News here on the Newsmaker Line presented by Busey Bank. I want to talk about one more thing before we move on. Name, image, likeness. I think the time has come. I know there are those who are against it. Where do you stand on this? Is the time there in terms of the economics of college sports that these players can make a few dollars off their likeness?
Fully in favor of that. Absolutely. Especially, you know, we go back to circumstances. I believe the young man's name was Darnell Autry, if I remember correctly. I remember Darnell Autry playing for Northwestern. I believe this was his circumstance. He was an actor and had an opportunity for a role. And I'm sorry if it wasn't Darnell, it was another Northwestern player, but he had an opportunity for a role, and the NCAA rules forbade him from taking the acting gig. And that is ridiculous. And that had to stop. And other things like Johnny Manziel signing autographs. And look, he knew the rule, so that's a problem. But that rule had no good purpose. It's not reasonable to the athlete. So I'm fully in favor of that. I'm not a big fan of the big rich booster, whatever, who, you know, does the blanket. If you play for this school, you get $800, whatever it is. We don't need that.
Yeah.
If you have a legit reason for, you know, this player, this athlete can help market your product, cool, do it. But the other stuff, I'm not super big fan of.
Yeah, and that's where I think that there's going to have to be some kind of legislation or rules. Right now it's the wild, wild west. And I know I've discovered there are even some college administrators who aren't sure of the rules as you're going through. They're not quite sure. I've gotten phone calls. People say, can you help me out with this? I think this is how it goes. How do you interpret it? So it's certainly going to be evolving, I think, even from here. Mike, let's talk about this. The changes in college basketball. Roy Williams is gone. Mike Krzyzewski is on his way out. You got to think that Jim Boeheim, after his sons graduate, is probably going to hit the door. It's a real change right now in the landscape of what has been the norm in college basketball.
Yeah, we've been blessed as those who follow college basketball, men's college basketball, to see all these tremendous Hall of Fame level basketball coaches that we've seen from Jim Calhoun and obviously Dean Smith back in the day, Bob Knight, and now this generation of coaches, including Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski and Jim Boeheim and Tom Izzo. And obviously everybody hits the end of their careers at some point. And sometimes it's maybe not chosen. I mean, obviously Jim Calhoun was a health issue. He just had too many stacking up on each other. And it wasn't really, you know, it was really hard for Connecticut because he had so many things that were keeping him out of games, and he ultimately decides to step away. And I think it was smart for him because he's been much healthier the last 6 or 7, 8 years. So good for him. And he actually got back into it I believe it's a D3 level because he just loves coaching so much. You know, for Mike, he's stuck around for as long as he has and done such amazing work with Duke and the U.S. men's national team. It's been great to see. And, you know, I've enjoyed my association with him over the last 20, 30 years. It's been tremendous. He's been a real gentleman, always generous with me. I'm going to miss him being a part of it. Absolutely. But that's the nature of the sport. You know, John Wooden retired once upon a time, and the game goes on. And so we're going to miss these guys as they exit, but we also still have Mark Few and we still have Jay Wright. And we still have so many great coaches around the country. And we have the next generation of significant coaches like Mick Cronin at UCLA and Scott Drew, the reigning NCAA champion. There are always new and fresh ideas and fresh approaches. And what will be interesting to see, Larry, is, you know, will Scott Drew still be doing it when he reaches 65, 70? Will Mick Cronin still be doing it when he reaches 65, 70? Those are all interesting, questions that, of course, we can't have answers to. You know, the funny thing I will say that interacting with some of those coaches, not Mick and, but some of the coaches that are now in their 60s over, you know, because they're my contemporaries. And interacting with them, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they'd look at somebody that, you know, like Jim Calhoun and say, man, there's no way I'm coaching when I'm out of this, you know. And now they're there and they're like, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm making a lot of money. I'm dealing with young people. This is pretty cool. I don't see the exit door being that inviting. Yeah. So they always at that, you know, at that younger age are thinking how cool it will be to, you know, to retire onto the big pile of money they're accumulating. And then they get up to it and they think, yeah, this is fun. I don't want to go.
Yeah. It's like a drug for all of us, I think, in a lot of ways. And it's like, it's after you do it, it's like, you know, no offense, but something else would stink. I'd rather do this. This is a lot of fun. You know, when you and I talked back in February, you were the first national person to call out Illinois as a team that was a serious contender. And boy, you were right. At that point, they ran off a series of wins, had huge success. Even when Io DeSumo went down, I mean, I've joked that the win at Michigan, I've compared that to, it was a beatdown of major proportions. It was the worst loss by a top two AP-ranked team at home since 1995. And they did it while Io was doing his Jean-Claude on the side from Ricky Bobby, sipping macchiatos, watching it, because he wasn't even a part of it, and yet they just destroyed them. And the Illini Nation, we took great pride in that. So kudos to you for seeing that in that team. They didn't have the March success that they would have liked. Iowa's gone, but talk with the Illinois coaches. They think this team actually has greater potential than last year's team.
Well, you lose an NBA player in Io, so I'm always a little bit skeptical of that. And the other thing is that you knew Io was going to be a great player coming in. What you didn't know, and what I wrote about prior to Io's final season was, if he comes back and he shoots 40% from three, then it's worth it. If he doesn't put in the work, and of course we know Iowa is a hard worker, but if he doesn't put in the work and gain the confidence to shoot that 40, then he should probably just go chase the NBA. But he did, and it worked out great for him. And he became he probably went lower in the draft than he should have, but he became a significant NBA pick, and he's going to make a team, and he's going to do great. The difference with that question, will he shoot 40 or will he just shoot 33 or 32? It's a lot different. Okay, who's going to play? Who's going to be the guy? You know, obviously, that Kofi is going to have a significant season. How significant is totally up to him. What does he work on? How does he try to get better? How does he try to make that leap from, you know, really great college big guy, second team All-American, to being a real pro prospect? Because he can, but there are things that he's going to work on to do that. In Io's case was shoot 40%. In his case, he's got to be able to guard a perimeter ball screen. If he can't do that, he can't play in the league. If he can do that, he can play for 15 years. It's that simple to him. And how he does that, you know, how do you incorporate that with also helping Illinois be the best possible team it can be? I don't think they're mutually exclusive at all. I think that he can do both of those things. And then, of course, I am maybe the biggest media fan, supporter, whatever you want to call it, in terms of my belief in his talent, of Andre Curbelo. I think he's terrific. I think he's going to have a phenomenal year. By the end of last year, you saw how often they wanted the ball in his hands, even with a guy who was a four-year guy in what they had. They wanted the ball in Andre's hands as much as they could. He was just terrific at moving the basketball, at getting it into scorers' hands. And so I think that him being back in place is enormous for this team. And then you've got two guys in Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams who are rugged, who are veterans, who know how to play. So you know what you have, but what can you get? You know, what can you get out of Austin Hutcherson? You know, there's so much buzz and all that, but what can he really do? I mean, he hasn't had to do it at this level. And so what can he do it when he starts facing Big Ten defenses and maybe coaches that game plan against him? You know, what can Coleman Hawkins deliver? Omar Payne, I think, you know, the baseline for Omar Payne is exactly what you need. You need, the baseline is 15 to 18 minutes a game, depending on how they rotate things. Solid, physical, smart. You need all that. He's all of that. But maybe the ceiling is definitely the ceiling is a lot higher than that. And so how rapidly does he progress to that season? I think there are many more questions about this Illinois team than there were a year ago. The thing is, if all the answers come affirmatively, then I could see where the coaches would say, yes, we can be better. We can be more consistent. We can, you know, there are things that we can do. But, you know, I do think that at least you're not depending as much on freshmen to be difference makers as you were a year ago. You definitely had to have the freshmen be great. And Adam Miller was very good at most things. He was consistent in terms of his effort, his energy. But offensively, here, there, one day, not there, the other day. So, you don't have to worry quite as much about that. Andre, you didn't know how long it would take for him to get full command of Illinois' offense. And so now you don't have as many questions in that regard. And so I know why the coaches would be really confident going into this year.
Yeah, there's no question. And you're right about Andre Curbelo. And looking at that, I think that one thing that we forget in those three games Iowa missed end of the year, in the Nebraska game at home, which was kind of in the middle of that, he almost had a triple-double starting in place of Io. Now, remember, there have only been four triple-doubles in the history of Illinois basketball, two of them by Io. And yet this freshman almost did it. If his teammates could have hit a shot, they went cold in the final 5 minutes. He had eight assists. He had some dimes that could have been assists, but they didn't hit the shot. So I think you're right. I think he is somebody that Brad Underwood said coming out of high school, he called him the best point guard in the country in this class, and people laughed at him. I think that will end up coming true. If he shoots 32, 33%, our insider Brad Sturdy is hearing from NBA scouts that he may be a first-round pick, even a lottery pick. The NBA scouts love Curbelo's game. And I think he, more than anybody, he's the key. His development, his maturity, because they gave him the keys to this team, will be will tell how far this team will go.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I don't have any doubt about him in terms of his ability to play at this level. Now, like you said, I think he shot 18% from three last year.
Yeah, it was low.
He's not a pro prospect at that level. And he's also somebody who teams can game plan against if he continues at that level, because you just sag off of him, and he can counter that a little bit, but it always gives the defense a weapon against that they can use against you. If you push that up to the number you talked about, you have to be honest about him. You can't 33% is not a great percentage for a college player, but you can't totally dishonor that. I mean, if he makes one out of every three threes and he does all these other things, he's going to punish you. So I obviously he needed to spend a lot of this offseason working on, and again, some of it's technique and form and all that, but another part of it is confidence and belief. I can make this shot. It's all of us have shot a basketball, and we know the difference between believing that that ball's going in and thinking, you know, if I miss this shot, we lose. And so, and then you're off the court for the next 3 hours or whatever. I think that it's partly technique and it's partly confidence, but he's got to get that down to in order for Illinois to be the best version of itself.
Yeah. Well, you and I have done it again. We have gone over our time as always, but I do hope we can talk again soon. Once the season does get underway, I want to definitely get some thoughts in terms of what you're seeing in the opening weeks and again, your projection, because you're always spot on because you know this game. Mike, we appreciate it.
Oh, Larry, anytime, I will always make time for you.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Okay, Mike DeCorsi of the Sporting News. You can also see him on Big Ten Network and Fox Sports as well, and a great friend of the Illini guys, and we appreciate him taking his time and talents to spend time with us. This is the Eye on the Illini podcast series. Don't forget, IlliniGuys.com, free 7-day trial to come on and see what we're all about. More than 600 pieces of content, stories, analysis, podcast, and of course a message board with up to the moment information when it comes down to the latest recruiting news, what high school players or transfer portal, what's happening, what's going on within the team. We have it all right there. Our insiders have the very best information, IlliniGuys.com. I'm Larry Smith. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Eye on the Illini.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.